Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I'm currently sipping on my honey lemon tea and sitting in my sweatpants, as, let's not lie, most of us are. The topic that really came to mind as I was editing this episode is transition. When I think about transition, I think about holding space. It's that period of in between, and you just find yourself waiting. Maybe you just applied to the school of your dreams and you're waiting for a response. Maybe you lost your job and you're looking for a new one. No matter what it is, it always seems to consist of waiting. And I think oftentimes we forget that even in this waiting period, life goes on. And many of us find ourselves waiting right now in the season that all of us are in. One that we can't control, that the world has put on us, that history has put on us. Many of us have lost our jobs. I was sitting at home this weekend listening to NPR, as one does. That's just what I kept hearing over and over again, which is that we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what the world will be like, how the economy will be impacted, how many of us will lose our loved ones and maybe even our lives. So we sit here and we wait. And we cross our fingers and we wait. Literally everyone, from the President of the United States to fancy businessmen and women working in the unnamed skyscrapers of New York to the beach bums of California. It's crazy to think about how we're all probably just chilling right now in our PJs at home. All of us are being impacted in different ways, but we're all part of the same story. No one really knows what's going to happen next. And I think the temptation right now is to wait and put our lives and our decisions into someone else's hands. But we have an opportunity here to keep living our lives, to spend time with our loved ones, to continue to tell a good story, even when the whole world seems to be on pause, just waiting for what comes next. I had this thought too, as I was binge watching Ozark. Honestly, I don't know why it took me so long to watch the show, but it is an incredible show. But anyway, I was watching this show, and you know that thing that shows do when they mention the specific year or they mention an event to make it more relatable to the audience. So it's like these characters are out there in the world somewhere living during the same period of time as you are and realizing that most of the world right now is in social isolation. And then finding myself wondering, what are the shows going to be like from here on out? Is it just going to be a bunch of us staring at our phones, texting back and forth? This idea that to live a good life is also to live a good story, where it has everything from the exposition, the rising action, the climax, and then a falling of action, and maybe a resolution of some sort. But life is rarely so clean. We have so many storylines playing out at once. It's hard to keep track of which one you're living, and how that intertwines with the storylines and the narratives of the people that surround you. It's really interesting how these things come back around. Jocelyn and I, we recorded this episode in February of 2020, which is before all of this crazy pandemic stuff. I realized there was a message being spoken, both to myself and to the people who eventually will listen to this podcast. And the message is this: don't wait. Don't hold your breath. Be present with yourself and the people in your life that you love. Because when we look back at this moment in history, we don't want this to be a gaping hole in our story. The story that's being told right now is not on pause. So in a time where we're just waiting for our kids to get back to school or waiting to go back to work, We don't know what's going to happen after this. For all we know, we may never go back to the life we had before. So how can we lean into that uncertainty and not fear the change, but face ourselves, face the reality of things, and share our stories and continue living? And just like that one Black Mirror episode, for Black Mirror fans, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, where she tells him, "It's just a state change, Harry." And if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, go watch White Christmas. It's an episode in the show Black Mirror. It touches on the fear that we may feel when we're changing states, when we're changing parts of the narrative. We're afraid that it doesn't match what we've played out in our minds, what it says about us, of so many things when it comes to transition. Sometimes we're just afraid to stop doing what we're currently doing. And that is the magic of the law of inertia. And despite how many of us feel, that's actually not that different from life before the pandemic. We never knew the next part of our stories. And yet we were under the illusion that we were prepared, that we were on track, even when in reality, we didn't actually know. We don't know what's going to happen. Not even the experts know. They can predict, they can analyze, they can prepare. But the reality is nobody knows the full extent of the impact of the pandemic. So as the whole world is waiting, I encourage you to keep living your life, keep dreaming big dreams, keep being the person that you want to be, whether it's giving out sanitizer and masks to essential workers that come deliver packages to your house. Maybe it's just smiling and not being awkward as you shuffle past somebody in the grocery store 6 feet away, if only to remind them that the world isn't ending. Maybe it's being present in our communities, in our neighborhoods, and choosing to come together in ways that allow us to make bigger impacts. All we have is the present moment. Let's make sure to make space for the now and to lean confidently and purposefully into the now.
Yeah, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens here on out for me, because this past year, March will be my 1 year mark of not dating, no sex, and no romance. I mean, you know, those were kind of, again, it was a negotiation for me towards the end, where I was like, man, but I feel like a different person now, engaging in the same activities per se, but I've never been like in that place again. So the rules just became sort of like a guideline. But still, this marks the end of a year where it was like, this is my space. And I think I've had a fear for a while of like, what's going to happen when I start dating again? And
so good.
I'm terrified, because like throughout the year, even though I was single, I did have feelings for somebody at work, and that ripped me to pieces because it was first of all an act of like a practice of discipline, because I had made a promise to myself and I said, hey, you know, even if I really like this person, even if they're the one, which doesn't exist, but even if that's the case, they'll wait, you know, because this is more important right now. So that was a big moment for me to just put everything else aside for the first time in my life, and then to be totally vulnerable with this person as with the facade of friendship, and at the end finally telling them my feelings. And basically he was like, I mean, not for me right now, you know, and so just being very just broken up, because it is it is grief, like you're saying. It was I went through the cycles, and I even looked it up too. I was like, I went through all the cycles from just like anger, depression, and in my mind I'm thinking, why is this impacting me so badly? Because I've gone through this year, I thought I was more self-aware, but this is just bad. I had suicidal thoughts, like I didn't know if I could keep on living, and so I was like, what's happening, you know?
You woke up.
I mean, I've been waking up throughout the year, but it was kind of just, I don't know, like I think I was very confused. So now I'm worried going forward, like I know when I'm single, I'm good,
right?
Like I feel good, everything's awesome, But I know those insecurities are still there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what the EMDR therapy mm-hmm. is treating, which mm-hmm. is those core things mm-hmm. that are just so deeply embedded mm-hmm. that you don't really notice those on mm-hmm. a day-to-day basis. Yeah. So it's like digging into those core hurts. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm like pretty nervous of like, if I actually meet somebody I really, really like, mm-hmm. I know I'm going to have to face this at some point, this fear of not being enough.
Can I give you an example of my, yes. like, this happened
yes,
to me?
Please.
So when I started going to therapy, I met this guy and I wasn't looking for a relationship. I still had I was just like, okay. And I remember telling him about like where I'm at and what's happening. And it was just like, we connected. And I remember I said this to my therapist. I was like, so I met this guy and I'm interested in taking things like slow. I want to get to know him. I like the conversation. The tools that I had gathered about at this point, I was like, I've done that. I'm enough, which still kept coming up when I was with him. I was like, no, I think I'm okay. I can tell him what I need, what I want.
Right.
And because I had separated my sexual relationships from my emotional relationships, from my physical and sexual relationships, I usually didn't have both of them in the same person.
Mm.
That was because for me, I'm like, no, this doesn't make sense. So it was the first time I was willing to merge it with this person. Mm. And gosh, I remember this was in March. It was like the beginning of March, maybe. And I remember sitting in my apartment and having this conversation, like, oh my God, it's like this person is coming into town. I'm going to see them. And I want to have this conversation with them about, okay, I really like you, but I've never had emotional feelings and physical feelings for the same person in a healthy space. If I tell him, is he going to think I'm weird? Is he going to leave? Is he going to be like, oh no, then we don't have to do this because I'm really sexually attracted to him. And I still like him as a friend. So I came to the place where I was like, I wrote everything in my journal like multiple times because I wrote, I'm like, no, let me write again. I wrote. And then eventually I was like, you know what? This person is not going to know what I'm thinking. So I'm going to have the conversation with him. And my heart dropped to the pit of my stomach. I was like, no. That's going to be giving them too much power. If I'm vulnerable, they can hurt me with information that I'm giving them.
Yeah.
They're going to be thinking like I'm clingy. Oh, I want them more than they want me. What if they don't feel the same way? You know, then what do I do? And I still have to see them. So like all these questions. And I'm thinking, wait, I'm enough written in my wall. So why am I feeling like this? You know, like I say I'm enough. Why is this, you know, again, it goes back to that part of yourself that you share with them.
Yeah.
So I was like, two things. I can either pretend that this is not happening and like bullshit my way through this, or I could be like, let's do this. And then I said to myself, what's the worst that can happen? I express my needs, I express where I am. And he says, no, this is not for me right now. And then I know early on that, okay, this is going to hurt. Like, I really want to do this with you. I think I want to spend some time with you. I want to be in a relationship with you, but I would much rather you're honest with me right now. And then what do I do with that honesty? Like, am I really ready to let go if he says no? Essentially, what's happening is I am staying true to myself by expressing what I need and being honest about it.
Right.
And I can't tell them how to respond to me. So if they decide to not respond to me the right way, there's nothing I can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is me sitting here 2020 talking about this very eloquently. But in that moment, I was like, no, screw that. No, like he has to say yes.
Yeah.
So I have this conversation with him. And so we go to dinner and we eat and then we go back to my place. And like one of the things I told him in the beginning is that I'm relearning my body. So I need him to ask me before he touches me. Like I need to have a conversation. So that is happening. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh my God. So what if there's so many things that are happening in my like, what if I do this? What do that? And because I had communicated with him, he was just like, we can stop whenever you want to. Like, we don't have to go to this space. And we probably essentially ended up talking. What that did for me was my therapist calls it a certain way where she says, if you express your needs to someone and they respond in a positive way, it strengthens or builds your capacity to ask for more. So as kids, when we express needs to our parents and they're shoved down, they're like, no, wait, don't be too this, don't be too that. We form these pathways that, oh no, this is not for me. I can't feel good. I can't ask for what I want. I can't do. So when you ask and it's encouraged and like, oh yeah, great, let's do this, it encourages you to ask for more and build the capacity to show up for more. And that's what happened with this guy. I was just like, oh, so I can actually ask for my needs and they'll be met. Cool. Who knew this concept existed? I mean, eventually, this didn't end well. Like, I learned a lot from him. He ended up ghosting me after a year of dating. True story. I can't believe I'm saying this on a podcast.
What the fuck? What the? What? Guy, if you're out there, we are going to find you.
I don't know if I'm interested in finding him. They didn't get it.
I mean, they may get it, but they don't understand because they weren't where you were.
Exactly.
And I also had an experience where I talked to myself for a while under the influence of some illicit substance. And
me too.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Because I was actually sitting on that bed right there. I was staring into that mirror. I was completely naked. And I was just sobbing, just like snot dripping down my face. But I looked at myself. Well, right before that, I was watching a video of nature on the TV screen. And I started crying because I was like, oh my gosh, the world has been this beautiful and I just missed it. And then I turn and look at myself and I'm naked. And I thought to myself, that's the same with me. Like, I've never been able to see myself the way that I am.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not crazy. I did this. I did a silent retreat 2 weeks ago. And
oh, really?
Yeah. I checked
myself
into
a hotel. Where do you do all these things? Tell me about them.
This is by myself. I just, I had like a little chatter in my head. I was like, okay, I need time to like sit with myself and figure out what this year, I want this year to look at me. What are my intentions? What's important to me?
Yeah.
And I checked myself into a hotel on a Friday night, stayed indoors all day Saturday, morning on Sunday, and just sat. And I did the same thing. I just sat in the mirror naked. I was like, hello, so we meet again. What are we doing this time?
One thing that was really powerful to me is that person, the one in the mirror, she looked at me and she said, like, you don't have to prove yourself to anyone anymore.
Exactly.
Like, I have been with you every single part of your journey. And I know what it felt like. I know how much it hurt. But you don't have to explain yourself anymore. So these experiences where I express my story, there's not a desire to get somebody's sympathy. And if they don't get it, I'm not like, why don't you? Like, this was so important to me, blah, blah, blah. But now it's like, no, like, I get it.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Comes to what I was talking about, being complete in yourself. You're just like, you know what? We're going to be okay. You're enough.
Yeah, and I think like when we say things that sound like cliches, I think there's ways that, okay, like the cliche is kind of like this central point, but then as we learn about it, it's like we connect to it in new ways.
In different ways, yes.
And like, oh, now I've talked to myself in a mirror for 3 hours. Now I've learned what self-love feels like in my body. Because there was another moment afterwards where I was walking around my apartment. I had set out these candles and like this drawing paper to prepare for it. In the moment, man, I just felt love.
Yes.
Love from myself.
Yep.
I was like, dude, she cares for me so much.
And she's always got your back.
Yeah, she's always got my back and she's strong. She's stronger than I thought she was, you know? There's something to be said with substances.
Well, I was going to say, I have like this journal that I had a similar experience, but I was just like, it clicks. It's this profound settling in your being that it's like, you're okay. Whatever happens, people describe it as self-efficacy or something, but you have this moment where you're like, whatever happens, I'll be okay. Because you've been with me since the beginning. Maybe I didn't recognize you were there. Now I'm aware that you were there. But I know that there's something in you that if I can't find in myself now, you're a resource. I can come to you and you will always have me. And that's, I feel like that's when the meshing happens. That's when you're like, okay, if people want to leave my life or if things don't work out this time, or there's always that knowing that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay. And that also gives you this like, I feel like it gives you this courage to like go out and do things because you're like, if I fail or I fall, someone's going to catch me. And that person is me. That person has always been there. Like, I don't need to look outside for validation. I don't need to have people approve of me. I don't need to have people tell me I am enough. I mean, it's nice to hear at that point. That's just like icing on the cake.
Right.
You are the cake. You're not even a snack. You're the cake. You have the whole thing.
Yeah.
So everything else is just like icing on it. You're like, you know, at the end of the day, I've still got me, you know, I'm still Ichikubus. Yeah. I'm the cake. Like everyone else is just icing on it. And icing is delicious. Like icing definitely makes cake much better.
Right.
But
right.
that feeling, that
I
knowing.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry. I was like, ugh.
And that's, it's once you have that recognition,
And it's wild because it's so hard to describe to people.
Yes.
It's so like...
Without seeming like you're crazy.
Yeah,
like,
what exactly. The hell? I'm like, I was talking to myself. And also how I see it is like ego death, which it's like a separation of your insecurities from the way you see yourself. Mm-hmm. That layer.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like how other people probably see me.
See me, yeah.
Another thing too was, it was wild because I looked into the research afterwards. And it's apparently one session can have lasting effects. Something they did in the studies too is writing down everything that happened, and then you can go back and reflect on it, and it brings you back to that place. Because of course it kind of, it's like any other experience.
You're like, did this really happen? Like, am I imagining this?
Or feeling like I've regressed somehow. But ever since that moment, for sure, this is how my therapist describes it, which is that the volume on my critical voice has turned way down, and the volume on my compassionate voice is way up.
Exactly.
And it shows up in little things. Like if I see a picture of myself, I'm not like, ew. I'm just like, oh my God, I look so cute. Like, oh wow. Like my skin looks a little weird there, but I look cute, dude. And people are always like,
what?
Like they see it as like maybe stuck up.
Yes.
Or
they
something.
See us full of ourselves. They see us as
isn't
oh
that
my
twisted
God.
Though? Like that we see ourselves as the reality and people think it's not okay. Like
I mean, I feel like society also makes it easy for us to not be okay with ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, think of everything that is being thrown at you to buy, to look.
That's how the world goes round, honestly. That's how businesses make money. It's based off of the fear that we're not who we want to be.
Yeah. I think that it's a growing thing that people are taking time out to become more aware, more awake, more... do the work, we call it. I'm using air quotes for those that can't see me, but like people that are willing to be like, move out of living in an automatic way to be intentional and like, hey, why do I respond to things like this? Do I like it? Do I not like it? Do I want to change it? You scare some people because some people don't want to know. And for various reasons, some people are just not in the space to do it. They don't have the capacity to do it. They don't have people that support them. Those are very real reasons why not everyone can do this work. But I guarantee you, I say that no matter what the cost is, it is absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
Like the freedom to make choices for your life instead of being automatic and just doing because it's happening.
Right.
Choosing to live life instead of letting life happen to you. Oh my God.
It's kind of like the Matrix dilemma.
It is.
Because you're wondering, should I stay in this fake universe or should I go out there where it's like pretty shitty?
It is.
But at least you know the truth.
At least you know, yeah. We actually talk about the
That's
red
scary,
blue
man.
Pill. It is. It's. I did. I thought it was a smart idea to watch The Matrix, all three of them in one afternoon. And I slept all of Sunday. I watched this on Saturday. My whole being was just like, what the hell just happened? And I just slept. Watching it is like, for me, there's lots of parallels. It was applicable to my life in so many ways that I was just like, even if it isn't a fake universe, just living alone. How many decisions do I make unconsciously because that's just the way it is without questioning? How many times do I respond to something and I just do it because it's a learned thing instead of like being inspired by what's actually happening? You know,
right.
So there's a lot of things to be said about recognizing that, oh, I'm choosing to participate in living in my life instead of just letting life happen to me because, I mean, it is what it is.
I feel like the people that I'm meeting that are doing the work are increasing in frequency.
That's true.
But I don't know if it's just because I've now gone through the work and now I'm attracting those people and I can recognize it.
Yeah.
Or if more people are actually doing it.
I was talking about this to my date, on a first date to someone yesterday. And I was just
That's
like,
that's the only way to do it.
You know, they say that you attract what you are or you attract what you're ready for, whichever version of it you want to believe. But I think there's something to be said about once you reach a certain frequency or vibration, it just changes. It's like you really do attract things that you are. you go to different places, your mindset is different. The conversations that you crave and yearn for are different. You don't find yourself in the same environment. And even if you do find yourself in the same environment, because the scales on your eyes have somehow been removed, you don't see it the same. So you don't have the same conversations with people. And those that don't want to have the conversations with you easily fall away. Those that do will be like, oh, look, a fellow person that wants to talk about this. Let's talk about this. Yeah. So there's the frequency of you bumping into them. And I think there's honestly, with everything that is happening, the environment that we're in right now, I think there's a lot to be said about people generally being interested in doing more work on themselves so they can live different lives. I think that's just the generation we're in right now. My view on this could be different because I'm from Ghana, but there were periods where, you know, people had to fight for civil rights. There were periods where people had to fight for LGBTQ rights and stuff. And now this just, I feel this is a general awakening of people like, crap, I'm messed up. Like, there's parts of me that's messed up. Now, what do I want to do with that part? And there's more resources, there's access to therapy, there's access to what people still refer to as illicit drugs. But there's been research that has proven that it's actually been helping with people, you know, like healing. I know that. When I tell you I know that, like, experience-wise, I was just like, my God, like, what is this?
Yeah.
And it changes you, you know? So when you've experienced that, there's more people that are, sometimes some people are recreational, but there's still a lot of things that are happening that people are just becoming more aware, is how I like to say it. So yeah, I think it's a combination of both. More people are doing the work and more people are just getting access to what they need to do the work. Now people can talk about going to therapy. Like, I was in the therapy session last week and like, oh, tell me, how did it go?
Yeah.
Before it's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's true.
Why are you seeing a therapist?
That's true. It's almost like everybody needs to go to therapy. That's more the general sentiment. But, you know, I keep going back to your house thing because I think for me, the past year was very much stepping into different rooms in my house, becoming more aware. But it is such a lifelong work because even now with EMDR, it's challenging me. After that session, I was shaken for like a day or two. I was like, shoot, like I felt depressed. I was like, what's happening? Like, I thought this was supposed to make me feel better. And so realizing that there's still so much that I'm not aware of, so many rooms I haven't explored or I don't even know that they're there.
Yeah.
And I can keep looking, but it's like a never ending house. And each time I enter a new room, I might have an emotional reaction or just confusion, like what's happening. And so it just surprises me that there's always deeper places within us, which on one hand is exciting because we're almost infinite. We have so much to explore and there's always more detail the more you look.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're such complex beings.
Yeah.
There's no way we're not one dimensional or two. I don't even think we're three dimensional. I think there's so many dimensions to us that sometimes we don't get to explore enough. So yeah, there's always going to be a room. And sometimes rooms are created based on what foundation you lay for one, you know, so you could be like, oh, I just discovered this room of like, say, self-love. And then something comes up like to show like, how do you really love yourself, though? What does that look like to you? What is the expression of that? Okay, now you have the expression. Is it really genuine? Always like this?
Right.
Is it changing with you? Is it changing based on the person that you are? Like, if you want to go down that rabbit hole, it's like there's so many of them that you can go down. Thing that makes the it's one, being curious about the fact that there's always going to be rooms and being okay with it.
Right.
And recognizing that when you do find a new room, keep in mind, before you saw the new room, you did not know it existed. And when you get new information, every facet of your being needs to process that information. Well, it needs to be aware of it, needs to process it before integrating it.
Right.
So you're definitely going to have emotional reactions. You're going to be like, whoa. I thought I was done with this. Why is this changing? Why am I, you know, wait, I thought we settled this. Why are we going back to this? Right. But it's going to take a while for you to like integrate it once you have a conversation or once you have a new experience. So that's not going to change. To tie into what we're talking about, it gets easier, it gets manageable because it's not new to you anymore and it takes practice. So the more you practice it, the better you get. Some things, if they poke at the very core, might be a bigger reaction and that's just the way it is. So I just had that experience with money. I was just like, whoa. I've never looked at my relationship with money before and I just like had this whole thing why catastrophized. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna be broken. And it wasn't true. It's just something that was triggered because I didn't have it growing up, you know? And I'm like, wait, I thought I worked on this, but it's also another part of my life that I didn't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna keep coming. That's the only way you grow.
Yeah.
You know, you come up, You integrate, come up, become aware, recognize, integrate. And that's just the way you keep going. It doesn't end until the day you die. And then I'm not quite sure what happens after that. But when I find out, I will let you know.
Yeah. I think the awareness is always the first piece.
Yeah.
To realize that you have rooms outside that this one room. Mm-hmm. And once you decide that, then you know that I'm going to be discovering rooms for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of exciting.
It is.
Because growth, I think, for me, makes life worth living.
Oh, yeah.
That absolutely. There's progress, that there's momentum, and it's not just this, always here, always now.
Yeah.
Like things change and things grow. So. Mm-hmm.
And I say this to my friends. I'm like, in existing, like in living my life, as much as I can, when there are moments with myself, I don't want to look back on this moment in my life and be like, especially when I'm spending time with someone, I don't want to look back in this moment in my life and be like, darn it, I should have been more present with them while thinking about the future. So I make it a point that when I'm with someone and that someone can be myself, because I have date nights with myself or date dates, whatever you want to call them, with myself, where I'm like, okay, I'm here with you. I'm existing with you. I'm paying attention to you. I'm focusing on you. I'm not going to give my attention to something that is going to be in the future, where when I'm in that future, I'm looking back and be like, darn it, I should have been more present with them. Mm-hmm. And doing that and approaching life like that with my work, with my job, my friends, my relationships, my community, my hobbies, my whatever it is, it just makes it where I don't want to leave a moment with regret. Now, it doesn't always work, because sometimes I'm like, I'm at work. I'm like, oh, I'm excited to go to boxing class. Or like, I'm excited to go do something. I'm about to travel. Mm. I'm excited to get on a plane. I need to pack. I need to do all this. So there are moments where I drift away. But for the most part, I try to be like, oh, this is in front of me. I could leave and never see this again. Either I die or some of them die. Something happens. They leave. Mm. Something happens. Mm-hmm. I could never, when I look back on this moment, do I want to look back with like, oh, that was really a healthy place to be, that was exciting, that was, I felt really present with the person. Or even if I look back and I wasn't, I can be like, oh, what was it about that situation that was causing me to want to come into this space instead of just being there? And that just makes, I don't know, it just makes my life more what's the word, just present.
And
goes back to what she said, like, it's also part of growth where it makes it worth living. It makes, like, was it Ram Dass that said we're all walking each other home? At the end of the day, that's what's happening. Like, we're all going somewhere, whether we want to or not. We're moving, you know. Sometimes we're not conscious we're moving. But at the end of the day, that's really what it is. We're just walking each other home. Whatever home looks like to everyone. So if I end up walking with someone, I want to make it as enjoyable as I can for myself and for them. And that's it. I think that's the essence of life.
But wow, we figured it out. We figured out the secret of life. And there we have it, folks. That was the fourth and final part of my interview series with Jocelyn. Thank you so much again, Jocelyn, for being such an insightful and wonderful friend and podcast guest. Thank you, the listener, for taking time out of your day to be a part of this community and this experience. We honestly talked about so many different things that touch on the core of my own healing journey. The more that I talk to people who have gone through a similar journey, the more I realize that there are some very core elements that seem to have been breakthroughs in points of growth. So I hope that as you listen to these episodes, you get a sense of what that healing journey looks like, how you can create change in your own life, and hopefully speed that process along for you. The more you absorb these sorts of information, the more you focus on healing and the direction that you want to go. What you focus on is what you see, and what you see is where you end up going. I hope that this episode series serves as a sort of bullseye, maybe, for you, so you can start recognizing some of the symptoms and recognizing the change within yourself. And I think this goes without saying, but I'm gonna say it anyways, because I know some of you may hear this and say, how can you say that you want your story to be a bullseye for me? You don't know who I am. We are possibly very different people. Your healings and learnings may not apply to me. Everybody is on their own journey, right? I am not arrogant enough to think that my story is all stories, and the things that have been breakthroughs for me will be breakthroughs for you. I'm here as just someone who's been down further in my own path, and as I've walked along this path, I've been influenced a lot by the stories that I've heard from other people's healing journeys. And even this interview series with Jocelyn, I learned so much. So it's not to say that my way is the only way. All I hope is that the information you have heard, the stories you have heard, has allowed you to develop new insights that maybe you wouldn't have if you were walking this journey alone. It's a reminder that you're not alone. And I'm hoping that there are moments in which you heard the story of your own life and realize that the experiences you have, they're unique, but they're also universal in some ways. And that no matter the depth of your pain, that pain is often universally felt. At the end of the day, it's just about story. I hope that this series has helped you realize how important it is to share our stories, that it encourages you to also share your own. So thanks again for tuning in. This is Joyce with Overthinker the Podcast. We'll see you next time.